Well, good evening, and thank you very much for that good singing. You see, sometimes we eat so much, and sometimes when you sit down in a meeting like this, that glorious feeling comes over you. And you heard about the young man who sat in the meeting, and he was having trouble keeping awake, so he wrote a little note, and he put it on his sleeve, and it read, "Now I lay me down to sleep. The preacher's long, the sermon's deep. If he should finish before I wake, please give my arm a little shake." So I would ask of you to be kind to your neighbor tonight. And before they leave, you know, just give them a little shake so they're, you know, they don't spend the night here. That would be a little bit inconvenient. Anyhow, it's a wonderful thing to know that our Lord Jesus does care. And it's a wonderful thing to rest upon the faithfulness of our God. And as we look at the great names that are given to us of our God in Scripture, we are truly encouraged because they bring much joy to our hearts when we begin to understand a little bit about Him. And it's very little that we'll fully understand on this side of eternity. It'll take all of eternity for us to begin to understand the greatness of our God. And certainly as we look over our lives day by day, we have seen His grace. We have seen His faithfulness. We have seen His care, and we have seen His provision day by day and moment by moment. And last evening, we were looking a little bit at that name, Jehovah. That name that reveals God as the eternal, the self-existent, the God of revelation, the God who is the only uncaused cause, and that God who stands in a special covenant relation to the nation of Israel. We mentioned briefly the name Elohim, and we didn't take time to look at that because of the time factor, but Elohim is the general name for God. And I cannot tell you how many times it's found in the Scripture, but when you see capital G in the lower case, that is Elohim. And it reminds us that He is the great God, the creatorial God. It reminds us of His relationship to all the nations. And it reminds us that He is the triune God. And what a wonderful truth is seen, because in Elohim there is truly God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, many of the great names that we find in Scripture arise from a unique historical incident and portray Jehovah in a special aspect of His character in meeting a specific need. You remember the story of Gideon? And you remember how he was called and he was the least of his family? He was called to be that mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. You remember he had the dream of the barley loaf. And the Lord spoke to him, and maybe we just should look at that very quickly in the book of Judges chapter 6. Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges chapter 6. And just briefly for a moment. And it says in verse number 21, "Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand," that is in the hand of the Lord. You notice that it is all capital in verse number 21, "Lord," that is Jehovah, "and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord," of Jehovah, "departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord Adonai Jehovah, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord," or Jehovah, "face to face.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die.' Then Gideon built an altar thereunto the Lord," unto Jehovah, "and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord send peace." And what a delightful, delightful term and name we have of our God here. It was a unique experience, a unique revelation. And so God reveals himself here as the Lord who sends peace. He truly is Jehovah Shalom. And Gideon came to experience that and knew that he would have victory over the Midianites and could go forth in complete and absolute confidence. So you see that this was a special uniqueness that God reveals himself to Gideon, and we benefit today and enjoy the lovely title that is given to our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Shalom. Now, if I were to ask you this evening, what is your favorite Bible story? I am sure that many hands would say David and Goliath. I'm certain that some would say Daniel in the lion's den. Others might say the story of Queen Esther and her stalwart heart and the way she was able to stand for her God in such a difficult time. Maybe some would say the story of Abraham. Perhaps some might focus in on one incident, particularly in Abraham's life, the story of Abraham and Isaac. And indeed, the story of Abraham and Isaac is one of the most beloved stories in all of our Bible. And we want to look at that story this evening that is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. I'm going to ask of you to turn to that portion of Scripture and let's look at this together. Genesis chapter 22. I am certain that all of us know this story, and we know it well. But I trust that what we have to say tonight will not only be refreshing, but encouraging to our hearts. You know, I can remember, and perhaps you have heard Perry Rockwood say this from time to time, if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. And the wonderful thing is that when we look into the Word of God, there's nothing new in it, but there is a freshness of it. And even though it's old, it's still ever new. And I trust that the ministry tonight will be ever new to your heart and to your soul. And we get here the background of a title that is used for us in the 14th verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Now let's look at verse number 8. And in response in verse number 7, I guess we need to connect it there. And Isaac said unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. And I understand in the Hebrew, it is the definite article, the lamb. God had a lamb chosen, a lamb in mind. And he says, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or in the mount of the Lord he shall provide. What a delightful portion of Scripture we have here. And as we look at this, it is the story of the last and the greatest crisis in the life of this man, Abraham. Abraham had experienced many crises in his life, but there was none quite as great as this one that he was experiencing in Genesis chapter 22. When you stop and look at the brief life, if we stop and look briefly at the life of Abraham, we find that God calls Abraham to leave his kindred and his father's house in Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 12. And he was no spring chicken when the Lord called him to do that. Do you remember how old he was? 75 years of age. And can you imagine the Lord speaking to you, some of you tonight, who are perhaps that age or close to it, and he said, I want you to leave everything that is familiar to you, all the comforts and amenities that you're enjoying right here in Park of the Palms, and I want you to step out and follow me. But where are you going to take me, Lord? I'm not telling you that. And what do we find with this man? You know that Abraham believed God, and he learned that God would keep his word. He believed God when he knew not where. He didn't know where he was going. And for those next years of his life, he lives in a Bedouin type of a tent, and he travels for all of those years. Abraham believed God when he knew not where. I wonder, do we have that faith to trust and believe God even when we don't know where? We sometimes sing the hymn, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, but on my terms, Lord. And then again, we find that God called Abraham and Lot to separate in Genesis chapter 13. And when we find that the Lord did this, Abraham would say to Lot, now Lot, if you choose the right hand, I'll take the left. And if you choose the left hand, I'll take the right. You make the choice. And what Abraham was doing, he was leaving the choice with God. And in so doing, he learned that God's choice is always best. Are we willing to leave the choices of life with him? Well, it doesn't mean that we don't have a brain and we don't keep it in neutral all the time. We need to be thinking and praying and exercise and seeing how the Spirit of God guides. But believing him when we even don't understand and leaving the choice with him. And then God promised Abraham a son. And he had to wait 25 years for this son. Six times he makes this promise to him. Six times the Lord affirms to him that he is going to have a son. But it was too long to wait. And Sarah becomes a little impatient and says, you know, Abraham, I can't have a child at this time in life, and you're getting on. There's Hagar here. She's our maidservant. Why don't you have a child through her? And of course, we know the sad story. But God finally spoke to him again and spoke to Sarah in their old age when he was 100 and she was 90, and he believed God even when he didn't know how. How can we have a child at this late time in our lives? And the wonderful thing Paul says in Romans, he staggered not at the promise through unbelief. That's a tremendous statement, isn't it? But then we look at Genesis chapter 22. And here is the promised son, the one in whom all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And God had promised him Isaac. And now he says, Isaac, Abraham, I want you to take him and offer him up upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And God was now going to test his love. He was going to call upon him to offer up his only son. And that had to be the most difficult and hardest test that he would ever face. He learned to obey God, even though he did not understand. He believed God, even when he didn't know why. And there are things that have happened in your life, and things that have happened in my life. And if the Lord keeps us here any longer, all of us, there will be mysteries that come into our lives. And we don't know why. We don't know why these things have happened. I could relate incidents in my life and our lives together. We still don't understand the reason. Oh, God has matured us and worked in our lives, and I hope in some little measure Christ has been formed in us. But there are mysteries and we don't understand why. And here was the hardest test. Take your son. And Abraham believes God even when he doesn't understand why. I remember hearing the story of a mother who had lost her son, just a little boy. And a preacher was visiting with this mother, and she was really distraught and upset. And she said, "Where was God when my boy died?" And that preacher very wisely said, "The very same place when his own son died." Because you see, God had a son, and he willingly gave him for you and for me. And in this story of Abraham and Isaac, we see the picture of God the Father and God the Son. And the Father gives his only Son. The Lord of glory dies at Calvary for you and for me. And this is the beautiful picture that is here. Where God was going to prove Abraham's love, he was going to prove his obedience, he was going to prove his faith. And this was the difficult test for him. All the previous events in his life, God was leading him up and preparing him for this supreme event, the offering of his beloved Isaac. The great promise that was first given to Abraham is found in chapter 12 in verses 2 and 3. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed." That's the promise. And now, this man was called to offer up his son. This was the son who was his supreme hope, the one in whom he and Sarah had founded all their pleasure and all their joy. And they had settled down to live the remainder of their lives in peace and watch their little boy grow. Beloved Isaac moving into manhood. And he was no little boy when he was taken. He was a mature young fellow when he was offered up or to be offered up. But suddenly there was that rude awakening that shook Abraham, and I'm certain it would shake Sarah as well, out of their complacency. And we become complacent in our lives, don't we? I mean, we are blessed beyond measure. The Lord has blessed you, and he has blessed me more than what we ever deserve and more than what we even need. When we think of the multitudes in this world today who are begging for a crust of bread, and we have plenty and to spare. And sometimes the Lord gives us a rude awakening to shake us out of our complacency, and we begin to grumble even when there's the least inconvenience. And Elohim appears to Abraham in verses 1 and 2 with the astounding command, "Take now your son." He was to take him. He was to offer him up as a sacrifice and as a burnt offering to God in all of his acceptability to the Lord. Abraham is not aware that this is a test. He is not aware that God would provide for himself the lamb. He is not aware that Isaac would enter into the valley of the shadow of death, but that he would be spared. Can you imagine the emotions he must have been feeling? The fears that must have been running through his heart and mind? That big knot in his stomach and saying, "Lord, I just don't understand why." It begins to boggle your mind and it begins to boggle mine. How would we feel and how would we respond in such a situation? But most uniquely, we see his faith. We see his believing. We see him exercising faith even when he does not understand. And do we believe God when we don't understand? Those mysterious things, those difficult things. And there is not one word of an objection from the lips of Abraham. There is no mentioning of an argument with the Lord and saying, Lord, now hold on, do you really know what you're doing in this situation? If I offer up Isaac, who is my seed, how in the world will all nations of the earth be blessed? How in the world will there be my name continued on from generation to generation? I mean, look at the age of us now. It was miraculous when we were 109 and she was 90, but now look at my age. And yet, even though he must have been perplexed and mystified, the scriptures are totally silent, and he never mentions why. You see, Abraham was doing something. Abraham focused on the promises of God, not on the explanation of God. So often, we want an explanation, and we're not willing to rest on the promises. He focused on the power of God, and not on the human resources. He focused on the purposes of God, and not on his personal desires. You know, we say sometimes, why me, Lord? Why not you? Why not me? Why should we be exempt from difficulty and problem and stress and problems in our lives? Why not me? A young man was found on the 427 highway on the outskirts of the city of Toronto. And as the police were going through his belongings, there was a little slip of paper. He was a little young Salvation Army man killed at 21 years of age. Earl Richard Best. And when they found his, in this wallet, the police found in this piece of paper, and it said, you should never ask why when problems come your way unless you're willing to ask the same question for every blessing that comes your way. You ever sit down and say, Lord, why am I here in Park of the Palms? So blessed with a lovely group of believers that we can sit and enjoy communion and fellowship. People who are here to care and provide and minister to our needs in every way. Why do I have all the amenities of life? There are those on the outskirts of here that are struggling to make ends meet. We don't often think of it in that way, do we? You know, when we take Abraham into account and look at him from a natural point of view, he would appear as a madman and as a fool. But when faith is brought into the equation, he appears as a devoted worshiper. And here was a man who was a true worshiper of his God. Now when we look at this, before looking into the derivation and the meaning of the name that is given to us here, that brings about the circumstance for the name Jehovah Jireh, consider the circumstances, the happenings which brought about its use. Isaac's curiosity is aroused in verse number 7. Many a time he had seen his father offer a sacrifice. Many a time they had done that. Many a time they had taken a lamb. And Isaac says, listen, Dad, here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? There's something missing here. And you notice what Abraham says in verse number 8. My son, God will provide himself the lamb. You know what that is? Implicit faith. He believed God when he knew not how. And you notice in verse number 5 where he says to his servant, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And as I said, Abraham was a worshiper. By going to Mount Moriah with his son to offer him as a sacrifice, he was a worshiper, but he believed God. And he said, we'll come to you. He had confidence in his God. Did he wonder what God would do? Did he wonder if God would provide? I don't know. But it would almost seem that Abraham trusted the Lord to make that provision. And then the knife is upraised. And as that knife is upraised, there is a voice that is heard, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He says, "Don't touch the lad. Don't do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And behind him was caught the ram by its horns in the thicket. And you know, there are two mentions of the lamb. And this is the first mention of the ram. And it's interesting to note that this is the first mention of the lamb in the Old Testament, in Scripture. And as we look at it, we find the lamb is mentioned twice, and then when Abraham turns around and he sees a ram caught by its horn in the thicket. And when we look at this, we begin to see the lamb in its gentleness and meekness. The Lord Jesus was the Lamb of God's provision. We see him in his meekness and his gentleness. But he was also that ram, and his strength was subdued. The ram was caught by its horns in the thicket, and I'm sure you have heard the application that by being caught, its strength subdued, but there will be no mark or blemish on that ram either. If it had been caught in the side, there would have been a scratch. There may have been a bruise, and it would not be suitable for a sacrifice, a burnt offering to God. And so in its perfection it would be offered, and offered in the stead of Isaac. And a beautiful lesson on the doctrine of substitution is given to us here. And then you'll notice in verse number 14, he says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Gideon called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord send peace. Abraham says Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or he shall provide." Jireh is a transliteration of a Hebrew word, which appears many times through the Scripture, and is translated for what it means. Its unusual significance is seen here, because it is joined with the title Jehovah. You remember we were saying Jehovah is able to stand alone. But when we put it with Jireh and refer to the Lord, it has to be joined together with him. Jireh is simply the verb to see. And then we ask the question, why is it translated in some translations as providing? In the mount of the Lord he shall provide. Because you see, with God, he not only sees, but our God foresees. He possesses eternal wisdom and knowledge. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He is the omniscient God. As Elohim, he is all-knowing, all-wise, and all-powerful. From eternity to eternity, he knows everything. He foresees everything. But as well, another word for seeing is the word vision. The Latin word is video, to see. Exactly what a video is, to see. We plug it into our VCR, to see something. Therefore, with God, he was foreseeing. There was pre-vision. So God, in his foreseeing and in his foreknowledge, pre-saw Adam's transgression in the garden. He saw his fall, and what did he do? He provided. There was provision. Did you ever look at that word, provision? Foreseeing. Before seeing. Vision. I see. That's the word, provision. We think of somebody provided me with supper tonight, and I really enjoyed it. But someone saw the need to that beforehand and prepared it so that we might enjoy it. And so when we look at this, the word vision is connected with the word provision. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He shall provide. It's a compound word, provision, to see beforehand, literally. And we often think of how the Lord meets our needs. He's provided for my needs. Why? Because he saw beforehand our needs and he provided. All wrapped up in that little word, provision. And God's provision is of necessity followed by his provision. With God, prevision and provision are one and the same thing. And this is majestically expressed in that beautiful word, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Eric Sauer has said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, who sees to the sacrifice which achieves atonement. The word Jireh is translated in verse number 28. And Abraham said, my son, God will Jireh provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Or it could be translated, my son, God will see to it that a lamb is provided. Or God will see for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. But the exact meaning is found in the fact that he is the God of provision. The importance of the words used here cannot be overestimated. It's no coincidence, but provides us a striking evidence and a confirmation of the hand of God. He reveals himself in the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen. The Lord reveals himself through this devoted patriarch, Abraham, and what a provision. Well, we might ask the question, what is the significance of the name Jehovah Jireh? Well, first of all, it speaks of a great deliverance, doesn't it? Isaac was about to die, but God seeing beforehand the knife upraised, about to be dropped into his son that was bound to the altar. The voice says, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son from me. And this is the primary reason for the introduction of this compound name for our God, Jehovah Jireh. Don't you love it? We see the great deliverance. At the very moment that Abraham and Sarah needed a provider, God saw to it, and he provided the ram. It was a constant reminder of his grace in his deliverance of Isaac. Now that it was all over, Abraham had learned the lesson God was seeking to teach him. He could see God's glorious purpose in it all, the magnification of his marvelous grace and his marvelous love. Man's extremity became God's great opportunity. Not only for deliverance, but a lesson of his divine providence. I think of a young father, a young businessman, and he came home from work very dejected. And he called his wife. And he called his family near, and he broke down in tears as he said to his wife, I've lost the business. We're about to lose our home. I have absolutely nothing. His little boy was there. He ran over and jumped up onto his dad's knee, put his arms around him, and he said, Dad, but you still have me. His wife looked at him and said, Dear, you still have me. And his old mother, who was living with him, said, And don't forget, son, you still have God. In the mount of the Lord, he will provide. It shall be seen. And we begin to see the faithfulness of our God. It's his great deliverance. What is the significance of the name Jehovah Jireh? It speaks of a deep relationship between Abraham and Isaac. And in the Mount of the Lord at Calvary, don't we see a great and a deep relationship between the Father and the Son. God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? What a great God we have, seeing Thou hast not withheld Thy Son. And God could have even added, even as I will not withhold my Son, my only and my well-beloved Son, as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. Remember the words of John the Baptist? Saw the Lord Jesus coming down the road? Behold the Lamb of God which bears away the sin of the world. There was the substitute for Isaac. There was the ram. Thank God there is a substitute for you and for me. And if you have never come to Christ and are still in your sins this evening, we invite you to come to the Savior, the one who died and paid the price for your sin at Calvary. God's provision provided by Him, knowing beforehand, seeing beforehand, provided by Jehovah. What is the significance of Jehovah Jireh? It is the great expectation in this name of God. There is something yet to come. Not only do we find that it was that great deliverance and that deep relationship, but there's great expectation in Jehovah Jireh. It takes us beyond what we find right here. Because you remember, He says, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This is the oracle of God. He saw something in prediction. Not only did He provide, but He will provide. God will manifest Himself to His people. And that ultimate sacrifice was seen at Calvary. We'll look at that in just a moment. What is the significance of Jehovah Jireh? Its realization. I wonder, did Abraham dimly see by the eye of faith another provision after God's provision for Isaac? Was there a realization that Isaac and the Lamb were types of the greater sacrifice? Did he understand the reality of sin and the need of a sacrifice as was seen in the Lamb? Was God impressing upon him the temporary nature of the sacrifices? They were only a shadow of good things to come, Hebrews 10 and 4 says. We don't know. But one begins to wonder, because you notice He did say that I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. There seems to be that Abraham had a divine inclination or revelation or realization that there was something beyond the sacrifice of Isaac. And he didn't understand, but he believed. But I want you to notice, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What mount was that? It was Mount Moriah. You know what Mount Moriah means? The appearance or the provision of God. Mount Moriah. It was there that Solomon built his temple, Mount Moriah. It was there the center of Israel's worship, on Mount Moriah, the temple. It was there the place of sacrifice, Mount Moriah, all pointing forward to Calvary. It was there that Ornan had his threshing floor. And you remember David, after he had sinned in numbering the people, he wanted to fall into the hands of the living God, because God was gracious and loving and He would show mercy to him. And there on Ornan's threshing floor, which 2 Chronicles 3 and 1 tells us was Mount Moriah, he offered a sacrifice to God. Can I offer to the Lord that which has cost me nothing? And he offers to the Lord a sacrifice. You see, there is significance in Moriah. Hebrew scholars agree that Moriah and Jireh are kindred words, both derived from the same root. This confirms the translation of Jireh as seeing or appearing or providing. The place of God's provision, where mercy was stayed, was Moriah for Isaac. But on Mount Moriah, Mount Calvary, the very same place where the Lord Jesus died for you and for me, Mount Moriah, no hand was stayed, the hand of judgment that day. The sword of divine justice was plunged into the heart of God's blessed Son. And here I am this evening, and here you are as well, recipients of His grace, because in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God will provide for Himself the Lamb. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Moriah. Thank God for that delightful title. And you can say, and I can say, He's my Jehovah child. And He sees, and He knows, and He loves, and He cares. And it's all out before Him. Never fear. Never despair. In the trials of our lives, I close with this. Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Isn't that wonderful? God was faithful to Abraham, faithful to Sarah, faithful to Daniel, faithful to the three men in the fiery furnace, faithful to Esther, faithful to His people, right down to this very moment, He's faithful to you and me. Can you not say amen to that tonight? Who will not suffer or permit you to be tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation, with the trial, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it? His Son bore it. He gives us grace to bear it. He has provided His grace, His strength, and His love. The God who sees, the God who foresees, the God who provides for our every need, never fails, because we can say the truth. God is faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness. What a delightful title. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Father, we just stand in awe and wonder at Thy love and at Thy grace. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And we look beyond the day of Abraham and Isaac to that scene 2,000 years ago where our blessed Savior died for sinners such as ourselves. What a provision. And Lord, we thank Thee that we can say the truth, that the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And to Thee, our God, and to Thy blessed Son, we give worship and praise and adoration, for truly Thou art worthy. Bless this word to our hearts, encourage our hearts, and help us never to fear but to trust, to rest in our great provider, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. In His worthy and hallowed name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.